Chapter 37. Alex.
Good morning, sunshine, Sandra Ip said.
Alex blinked, closed his eyes, cracked open just the left one. He'd been in the middle of a dream where apple juice had gotten into the coolant feeds on a ship that was both the Rosinante and his first ship back when he'd been in the Martian Navy. The sense that he was supposed to fix something lingered even as the details faded. Sandra, naked, smiled down at him, and he stopped trying to hold on to the dream.
Hey to you too, Pookie, he growled.
The night's sleep left his voice deep and gravelly. He stretched up his arms, palms flat against her headboard, and pressed to stretch down between his shoulder blades. His toes reached out past the edge of the blanket, and she pinched them playfully as she walked back toward the shower. He lifted his head to watch her retreat, and she looked back to watch him watch her.
Where are you headed?
He asked, partly because he wanted to know, partly just to keep her in the room a few seconds more.
I've got a shift on the Jami Rakshasa today, she said. Drummer's making sure all these OPA bigwigs feel like we're taking care of them.
Jami Rakshasa, Alex said, laying his head back down. That's a weird name for a ship.
I think it's some kind of in-joke with Good Fortune's people. Decent ship, though.
Her voice echoed a little from the bathroom.
The weirdest ship I ever worked was called the Inverted Loop. Gravel miner made out of a salvaged luxury yacht. The captain had this thing about open space, so they'd cut all non-structural walls and decking out.
Alex frowned up at the ceiling.
Seriously?
When that thing was under thrust, you could drop a bearing in the cockpit and listen to it hit every deck down to the reactor. It was like flying in a balloon full of sticks.
That ain't right.
The captain was a guy named Yates Pratkanis. He had some issues, but his crew loved him. Nothing like the stupid shit people do for a captain when they're really invested in not seeing how fucked up he is.
Suppose that's true.
The sound of water splashing against metal announced the shower, but Alex could tell by the music of it that her body wasn't in flow yet. He looked up again, found her in the doorway, her arms lifted above her to rest against the frame. She was only a little younger than him, and the years showed on her body. Silver ghosts of stretch marks just visible along her belly and breasts. The fuzzy tattoo of a waterfall down the side of her left leg. A jagged scar that puckered the flesh of her right arm. Hers was not the beauty of youth, but of experience. Same as his. Still, he could see the girl she'd been in the way she lifted her eyebrows, shifted her weight into her hip.
You want to take a shower, sunshine? She asked with false innocence.
Oh, hell yes, Alex said, hauling himself up from the bed. Yes, I do.
Ever since that first night on Ceres, he and Sandra had been spending a chunk of their off hours in each other's company this way. When they'd been on the Rossi, they'd split their time between his cabin and hers. Here on Tycho, her quarters had become their default. She'd been on the station long enough for her seniority and union rules to lend her two rooms, a private bath, and a bed that was a lot more comfortable for two than trying to fit into the same crash couch. As love affairs went, Alex had been surprised at first and a little wary. Sandra's sexuality was joyful and unrestrained. It had taken him a little time to knock the rust off and join her in it. He'd had a few lovers before he'd got married, one, shamefully, while he was, and a couple dalliances afterward. A woman's full and delighted attention wasn't something he'd ever expected to have again. Once he convinced himself that, yes, this was really happening, he fell into it like he was 16. After the shower, they toweled each other dry, and he helped put lotion on her back where she couldn't reach, and a little where she probably could, too. She put on her uniform,
tied back her hair, then brushed and gargled while he crawled back into the bed.
"Another day of sloth for you?" she asked.
"I'm a pilot with nowhere to go," he said, stretching his arms out in a gesture that said, "It's not my fault."
She laughed.
"This is why I'm not one," she said. "Engineers always have something to do."
"You need to learn to relax."
"Well," she said, her voice taking on a low purr that was come on and laughing at the come on both, "you keep setting me an example and maybe some of it'll rub off on me.
Maybe when your shift's over, we could order in."
"It's a plan," she said. Then checked the time on her hand terminal and grunted.
"Okay, I've got to run."
"I'll lock up when I go," Alex said.
"You'll sleep in my bed all day like a lion."
"Or that."
She kissed him before she left. He let himself sink into the pillows after the door closed, rested there for a long moment, then stood up and gathered his clothes from the floor. Sandra's quarters were soft and welcoming in a way he wasn't used to. The comforter wadded and shaped at the foot of the bed was a pale blue with a pattern of lace at the edges. Sandra had hung draping cloth at the corners of the room to soften the light and disguise the edges. Her desk had a small glass vase with dried roses arranged in it. The peppery smell of spent perfume sank into his clothes when he was here, so that hours later he'd walk through a draft and be suddenly and viscerally reminded of her. The women he'd lived with these last years, Naomi, Bobby, even Clarissa Mao now, weren't the sort for frills and softness, plush pillows and rose water. Being around that particular kind of femininity was familiar enough to be comfortable, exotic enough to make this time, this moment, this relationship, something all his own. Turned out some part of him had wanted something all his own. Or maybe, pulling on the same sock he'd worn yesterday, it wasn't even that. Maybe it was only that he knew how much the war might take from them all. And Sandra Ip was his chance to refill some cistern of his heart and body that there wasn't going to be time for later. A place of gentleness and affection and pleasure, like a hurricane eye. He hoped she felt the same about him. That they were stocking up good memories, him and Sandra both, against the history that was about to unfold around them. It was getting harder and harder to shrug off the sense of dread back on the Rocinante. The days since they'd arrived on Tycho had been one endless meeting for Holden, when he wasn't fencing with Carlos Walker about what supplies and support the OPA could provide. He was trading long recorded messages with Michio Pa about the firing rate of the Free Navy's railgun artillery in the slow zone. When he wasn't reporting to or getting reports from Avasarala, he and Naomi and Bobby were comparing positional maps of the system with Amy Ostman and Micah Al-Dujaili. Holden never seemed to lose his temper, never seemed to rest. Every time Alex saw him, Holden smiled and was pleasant and upbeat. If he hadn't spent years with the man, he might almost have been fooled into thinking things were going well. But the man in the meetings, pacing the corridors of the Rocinante or the docks outside them, sitting hunched over his flickering hand terminal, wasn't really James Holden at all. It was like Holden had become an actor, and his role was James Holden. The surface was whatever it needed to be at the moment. That wasn't the man he knew. Alex could feel the howling void of desperation and despair behind everything he said. It showed in the others, too. Naomi had become quieter, more focused, like she was always in the middle of puzzling through an impossible problem. Even Amos seemed on edge, though what it was about was so subtle that Alex couldn't have said for certain if that was even true. It might just have been his own fears projected against Amos's blank slate. And if Bobby and Clarissa seemed immune from it all, It was only because they were relatively new to the ship. They didn't know the feel and rhythm of the Rocinante well enough yet to hear when she went slightly out of tune. And every story of the Free Navy, another ship captured or killed, another Earth spy caught and executed on Pallas or Ganymede or Hall Station, another rock intercepted before it could hit Earth, turned the ratchet one more notch. The consolidated fleet was going to have to do something, and soon. The little restaurant just off the main hall, bright lights, a little redder in spectrum than the sun, syncopated harp and dulcimer music, which was apparently in fashion these days, tall stools around a white ceramic bar, a plate of something not entirely unlike chicken in a vindaloo that was better than it had any right to be. Sandra had introduced the place to him the first night on Tycho, and he'd become a regular since. His hand terminal chimed the connection request, and Alex accepted it with his thumb. Holden appeared on the screen. It might just have been the dim light on the command deck or the blue of the monitor the captain was sitting in front of, but his skin looked waxy, his eyes flat and exhausted.
"Hey," Holden said. "I'm not interrupting anything, am I?"
"Thanks for asking," Alex said, maybe a little too heartily. He felt like he needed to hold the energy of the conversation up when he talked to Holden these days, as if he could inject health into the man by being so damn chipper at him.
"I'm just finishing some breakfast. What's up?"
Holden said and blinked. For a moment he looked surprised, like what he was about to say seemed a little implausible to him.
"We're looking to ship out in about 30 hours. Clarissa and Amos are in the middle of their sleep shifts, but I'm calling an all-hands meeting in 4 hours so we can make sure we've got everything in order."
The way he said it sounded like an apology. Alex felt the words land like he was drinking something cold on an empty stomach.
"I'll be there," he said. "We're good?"
"Cap," Alex said, "this is the Rosie. I made sure we were topped up and ready as soon as the docking clamps were in place. We could take off 5 minutes from now and be fine."
Holden's smile said he understood all Alex's subtext. "Still, good to get everyone together and double check."
"No argument," Alex said. "4 hours?"
"Four and change," Holden said. "If Amos sleeps in, I'm gonna let him."
"See you on board then,"
Alex said, and they dropped the connection. He took another bite of the vindaloo. It didn't taste as good. He slid bowl and fork to the recycler, stood up, waited a few seconds, just so he wouldn't be going to find Sandra quite yet. He went off to find Sandra. Despite its name, the Jemmy Rakshasa was an unexceptional-looking ship. Wide at the front, boxy with a random studding of PTCs and thrusters scattered over her skin in a way that spoke of generations of use and modifications, the design growing and changing and leaving artifacts of its previous incarnations, like a house altered by tenant after tenant until the original architecture was all but lost. A belter ship. If it hadn't been for the high security presence, both on the dock and floating around the ship itself, he'd have wondered if he was looking at the right one. He waited outside the utility airlock, holding onto the wall with one hand as he floated. He saw Sandra before she saw him. A cluster of engineers and mechanical techs in environment suits floating together at a wall display. 4 different conversations going among the 7 of them. Her hair was in a ponytail that waved like a flag when she shook her head, impatient with what the man beside her was saying. When she glanced in Alex's direction, she did a quick double take. He saw the smile start on her lips, saw it wilt. She finished her discussions, pushed herself off, gliding through the air toward him. By the time she grabbed a handhold and pulled herself to a halt, the knowledge was already in her eyes.
"Well," she said.
"Orders came through?"
"Yeah."
Her expression softened, her gaze tracing the curves of his face.
He looked at her, memorizing the shape of her eyes, her mouth, the little scar at the temple, the mole tucked almost behind her ear, all the details of her body. A bad habit in the back of his head fed him all the wrong things to say. You should ship out with us, and I can resign and stay here with you, and I'll come back if you wait for me. All the things that would make her feel better right then in the moment, and break her trust in him later. All the things he'd said to women he loved before, and not meant then either. She laughed gently, like she'd heard him thinking. I was never looking for a husband, she said. I've had husbands. They're never what they're cracked up to be.
My track record is I make a pretty shitty one anyway, Alex said.
I am glad you're my friend, she said. You make a great friend.
You make a great lover, Alex said.
Yeah, Sandra said. You too. So how long?
Captain's called a meeting in, he checked the time, a little over 3 hours. Says we're heading out in a little less than 30.
You know where?
I expect he'll tell me when I get there, Alex said.
He took her gloved hand. She squeezed his fingers gently and then let him go. So I get a lunch break in about an hour and a half, she said. They were casual words, spoken carefully. Like if she bit down too hard, she might break them. I could take it a little early. You want to meet up at my place? Freshen up the lock one last time before you go? Alex put his hand to her cheek. She braced a leg against the wall so she could press into his palm. How many millions of times had people had this exact conversation before? How many wars had put two people together for a moment and then washed them apart? There had to be a tradition of it. A secret history of vulnerability and want, and all the things that sex promised and only occasionally delivered. They were just one more couple among all the countless others. It only hurt this time because it was them.
Yeah, he said. I'd love that.
The galley of the Rocinante smelled like coffee and maple-flavored syrup. Naomi shifted when Alex came in, making room for him on the bench. Amos sat on her other side, looking into nothing and scooping scrambled eggs from a bowl with two fingers. His eyes were still puffy from sleep, but he seemed alert otherwise. Clarissa stood in the doorway, uncertain but present. Alex thought about getting some food, but he wasn't hungry. It would only have been so he had something to do with his hands. A conversation between Bobby and Holden echoed down the lift as they approached, their voices hard and competent and businesslike, maybe even a little excited. There was an anticipation in the air that didn't feel like joy, but wasn't entirely unlike it either. The melancholy in Alex's chest and throat eased a little as they came in, Bobby taking the bench across from him while Holden headed for the coffee. When he'd left Sandra's quarters to come here, he'd carried a sense of loss with him. He still felt it. Would feel it for maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe forever. But not as strongly. And his people were here. His crew. His ship. The worst of the sting was already over, and the sweet, he thought, would last. For him. Hopefully for Sandra. It was great sharing a moment with a genuinely good woman. There was a pleasure in coming home again, too. Holden took a sip of his coffee, coughed, and took another one. Clarissa slid in and took a seat behind Amos as if she could hide behind him. As Holden ambled over, head down, expression distracted, Bobby reached across and tapped Alex on the wrist. You good?
Right as rain, Alex said. Said my goodbyes.
Bobby nodded once. Holden sat down, facing them all, sideways on the bench. His hair was unkempt, his eyes focused on something only he could see. The attention of the room, Naomi's, Amos's, Alex's own, turned toward him. An ancient and barely familiar anticipation shifted in Alex's chest, like a fragment of childhood beginning of school year.
"So, Cap," he said, "what's the plan?"